doing really well. So that's great.
That's huge.
What do you think made the difference?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure. It's there's only 11 kids, and so maybe that's it. There's a really small class size, and he really connects with the teacher. And mm-hmm. maybe it's just that he doesn't have a lot of classes and a lot of other things going on, so he can really focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be it. I think that's it. And I think he said, you know, he wants to show us that he can do really well next year and take things into his own hands without, you know, mom helping. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's really, you know, determined to do it on his own and, you know, do well next year. I asked him, I said, so you're going to do well in the fall? You're going to continue this momentum? And he said, I'm going to try.
That's great. What grade is he going to be in this fall?
10th.
10th grade. Wow. Big time.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Maya, we also have Bob and Diane on the phone. They're in Atlanta. And just real quick, do you guys want to just share the age of your child that brought you to us?
Yeah.
Bob and Diane?
Our son is 15 and a half, and he's going into 10th grade also.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I heard earlier about the arguing, and that's kind of an issue we deal with a lot, too. So I was actually going to look up, like, developmentally, you know, 15 to 16, if that's just I think that's one of the more difficult times for teenage boys.
Yeah.
I have
two
boys. I think that, you know, they're really trying to get their independence and have a lot of testosterone. And anyway, I was going to look that up. Maybe you know that.
Well, no, and I was trying, one of the things I was trying to figure out is, though, even though, you know, I don't know if your son has ADHD or that, but my son doesn't, it's just like, I think that, you know, how they say that, you know, well, really, he's, what, 3 to 5 years younger? So I was mm-hmm. trying to figure that one out. You know, are the expectations of a 15-and-a-half-year-old or are they of, you know, the 13-year-old or 12-year-old. And I know it's a fine line with that.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the kid. You know, all kids are different, right? And the 3 to 5 year developmental delay can be sometimes in just specific areas, not in all areas. Sometimes it's in all areas, but very rarely. Usually there's, you know, one or two areas where they may be more along the lines of their neurotypical peers. But if you think about their bodies and the way they're developing at 15 or 16, yeah. So it is kind of like the perfect storm, right? Because you have all these hormones, and then functionally or developmentally, you may be only 13 or you know, 14 or 12, depending on where you are in what area. So it is, you know, this giant, I guess, twirling and swirling of highs and lows and not really being sure, A, how to handle half of these emotions anyway, and hormones in and changes in school and lots of fun.
It is a perfect storm. That was very well put with that.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, cool. So just I'm going to turn the recording on. So in case anybody chimes in or joins us later, we are recording. And today is Thursday, July 27th, and this is the 8 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. And this week we are talking about transparency and openness. And before we go into the topic for the day, let's kind of go back around and do some taking aim. And you guys remember probably from last time, we're taking aim on the change we want to see. So we're taking aim sort of on an outcome, but not necessarily. We're taking aim on something that maybe top of mind, that's been bugging us today, maybe has been something that you've been thinking about over the past week. It can be the same thing that you took aim on a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. It's really kind of whatever your top burning need, desire, consideration is right now. So take a few seconds to kind of see what floats up and then just chime in when you're ready to take aim.
Oh, well, what comes up for me, this is Maya, I've been taking aim on this for a few months now. So I want my son to listen to a 20-minute recording of an executive functioning coach because I I'll give you a little background. I think I spoke with Elaine on Insanity School, like private coaching, about my son possibly switching schools. You know, he's at a big public high school to go to a small private school where he'd get a lot more attention. And it was like a big, you know, it was like 6 months of drama. And he did get into the private school, but he decided he wanted to stay at his high school, which, you know, is not best for his ADD. So I worked something out with Elaine that we were going to, if he stayed at his big public high school, he was going to have an executive functioning coach to help him manage all his homework and his classes. So he hasn't, he won't agree to meet this woman. He won't agree to, you know, talk to her on the phone. And then she was actually on this ADHD telesummit, which you guys were on too, and you guys did great.
Yeah.
And I recorded her, so it would have been just 20 minutes, and he's still, like, I still have it on my phone, and he won't listen. So I guess I got to cut to the chase. I just can't get him to listen to it.
Interesting. What are you hoping he's going to get out of it? I'm just curious.
To understand what she does, because he has an IEP and he has a case manager, but the case manager at his public high school has to deal with like 12 to 16 kids, you know, per class, per period. So he doesn't really get a lot of personal attention and help with like managing his homework and figuring out when things are due and all that. Those are all of his executive functioning issues. So the executive functioning coach, you know, would just be more one-on-one and just more specific with him to help him just, you know, be really organized starting off in 10th grade where he wasn't in 9th grade.
Gotcha. And he knew that this was one of kind of the deal, right? I mean, if he was going to stay at his high school, he had to go through with this other piece?
Yeah. So we discussed that a lot, and he said, well, only if I start doing really bad. And so I'm trying to be proactive and just, like, he keeps saying, well, let's just see how it goes because he's getting a new case manager because, you know, we raised a lot of, you know, we talked to the school and his old one wasn't working. He actually got demoted to middle school because he wasn't working for anyone. So he said, I want to just see how it goes with the new case manager. And he's like, has all these stars in his eyes. It's going to be much better. You know, he's going to help me. And I don't really, I don't see that happening because, you know, it's just, it hasn't happened in the 2 years he was in middle school either.
But you could be two, right? I mean, we could go that route. Your ups and downs and maybe time for the shining star of the case manager to come in. It's not 100% like, right? You're not buying it.
Hey, Jeremy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you're kind of bringing up a lot, at least the way we hear you. I think we're missing some of what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Thank you for letting me know. Let me move to another space. In the room, we had a severe storm today, and our basement's flooded, and it's been kind of an interesting day. So we have more storms moving in right now. So
sorry to hear that.
I'm breaking it. Yeah, is this better?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that was fine right now. Thank you.
Okay. Let me know if I cut out again. I apologize. So I was just saying that, you know, you might be due, Maya. This might be the time the case manager arrives because it's been a while since you had one, if ever. But no, I totally get it. So that was the deal, and he understood the deal, and he's still not moving through with his portion of the deal, right?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Dan, you guys want to take turns, or you want to take aim on the same thing?
Well, that is something, but we're doing it the opposite way, where we're taking our son out of a private school that we've had him in, and we're putting him back into the public school. He was in public school, but just missed a year and a half in, private school. And he got a lot of attention in the private school, and he has also stars in his eyes about the social aspect of being back with his friends, and we have to probably look into some kind of tutoring, executive function, something like that, because what we see right now, just getting him to do his summer reading is just very, very hard. And I forgot, I went to the forum with this question today also, and a very nice mom had some ideas or an idea for me to try, so I'm going to try that. But my son, I think he just gets into overload when you try to pin him down to go ahead and do what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask a question of the other lady on the phone, this executive mm-hmm. function coach. Was that something that your public school was providing, or did you find that person through other means?
Oh, other means, yeah. I will have to pay for her. She actually was head of these CHAD meetings I go to. You know, that's the children with their ADD meetings. They're nationwide. I don't know if you go to those. But anyway, she's like the person who runs the CHAD meetings, and then she also does executive functioning coaching. And I think she's really, really good.
Okay. Yeah, we belong to CHAD. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
So, yeah, it's just about the same question.
Yeah, so the school, our public school, I don't know if your son has an IEP, but they provide a case manager, and but that person has to, you know, take care of a lot of kids with all different issues. It's not just ADD, you know, all different learning, it's special ed, all different learning issues. So, you know, I think they get stretched pretty thin, and some kids are in need of more help than others. And, you know, my son has to actually ask the case manager a lot to help him, because otherwise they figure if you don't ask, then you're fine. And meanwhile, you know, they let my son was able to just play on his phone and not do his homework mm-hmm. and not do, you know, and still have B's and still, you know, I called IEP meetings and they're like, you know, oh, well, he doesn't ask, so I think he's fine. So it was just like really just a whole wasted year. And I asked for a new case manager the whole year, and they kept saying, no, 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 you know, you can't change. So finally, I think they discovered that he was just very bad for everybody, and luckily he got moved down to the middle school so that my son has to get a new case manager.
Hmm. Yeah, we had that experience in middle school. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Good.
It's hard. I was just saying that it's hard. You know, there's lots of people who start out really passionate about helping our kids, and then for whatever reason, they tend to burn out over time, and they usually burn out before they leave, unfortunately, instead of right around the same time. So what are we going to take aim on? Are you taking aim on something similar, or I may have missed that part.
Are you asking me?
For Diane and Bob.
Oh.
No,
okay.
I'm asking Bob and Diane. Sorry. Okay. I heard yours, Maya. We got that part down. Sorry.
Sorry, Jeremy, this one's a little hard because we're having the explosions of this when you start to, I guess I'll go with the other one when we're getting so much pushback from small tasks, even trying to get to do the task.
Uh-huh.
So that would be our aim is to figure out how to approach these tasks without, you know, turning into an explosive on, you know, I'm not sure how to, you know, to ask the question.
Perfect. Yeah. So you want to take aim on finding a way to approach him in terms of contributing to the household, right?
Yes.
Or doing chores or whatever it is you need him to do and have him do it essentially without having a big knockdown drag out every time.
Right, including his reading, because I think that's going to turn into just how it is when he goes back to school. So
okay.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that, how to bring him in to the task, you
uh-huh.
know, with follow through.
Gotcha. Okay. Good. What about you, Bob?
Oh, I'm on the same page with my wife. We're
okay.
just really struggling with this anger issue with him. It's kind of like pushback
mm-hmm.
across the board between just regular household stuff and just joining in with stuff. And we're just really concerned that we're very close to the start of school and we don't see any like real maturing that's happened over the summer of him being able to accept his responsibility to do like this simple job of homework. And now he's a few weeks away, a couple week and a half away from having 8 classes or 6 classes or whatever. So.
Yeah.
So the aim would be, yeah, just how to go about this.
Okay. Let me think for a second. Last time we talked, we were looking at some things that could be commonalities in terms of times of day or specific reactions or things like that. Did anything float up around that at all, or is it still just mostly around the reading and getting your summer assignments done, no matter what?
Right now, it's just the reading.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, she's talking about, okay. Actually,
yeah.
No.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get your question then.
Oh, no, last time we spoke, I think, we were talking about different things that could be going on in terms of was there any commonality in terms of the time of day or, you know, if there was something about when you were asking him to do the reading or, you know, where he may have been tired or hadn't eaten, was he hungry, was he in the middle of something else and didn't want to transition? Were there any similarities kind of across those specific circumstances that may give us a hint or an idea of a direction to go in terms of making it easier for him as well, meeting him where he is? And I can't remember if we ever kind of closed that loop or came up with anything particular, if it was just no matter when or what was going on, he was going to push back.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we do know that it's heightened when he's tired. It's ever since he's been able to talk. If he's tired or fatigued,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't deal well with doing something, you know. But it doesn't seem to matter. A lot of times he'll just kick back and say, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Anyway.
Perfect. All right. We will take aim on that for sure. So transparency is one of those kind of interesting things, transparency and openness. I think as parents, a lot of times we think of ourselves as being open and honest and fully transparent with our kids when it's appropriate. But sometimes I think we even fool ourselves, and we may not know for sure what's going on within us. You know, why are we upset about this? Why are we frustrated, you know, when the kids won't do their summer assignments or when they won't pick up after themselves or when, you know, we have to ask them again and again and again to do basic things like brushing their teeth or whatever. And if I'm honest with myself, I can think of multiple times when I've gotten upset for reasons that really had nothing to do with whatever the situation was. You know, we tend to catastrophize. And I can think of times when my son, you know, was younger and he would either fail a class or he would refuse to do an assignment, and I would get so frustrated because I was convinced that, you know, getting a C or a D or an F in whatever it was, I think it was like maybe third grade English or third grade religion or something like that, you know, in my mind, I fast-forwarded that all the way through to having him boomerang back from college and spending the rest of his life living in our basement. And so it was a lot more about my fear for his future than it really was about what was going on in the time. But I couldn't tell him that once I figured out what it was because I didn't want him to think that I really thought that that's what might happen. And so, you know, we have to be transparent and open with ourselves first and honest with what's really going on, kind of the need behind the need, you know, what's underneath the waterline. We have that iceberg. What's really happening there? And then when we can, I think it's great if we can tell our kids really what we're thinking. I can say to him, you know, I didn't say it, I'm afraid you're going to come back and live in our basement forever, but I can say, you know, I'm afraid that if we don't get these building blocks in place, it's going to make it that much harder for you to go on to the next year and the next year and the next year, and then you're going to be frustrated, and we're all going to be frustrated, and we want you to be successful, and I know you like the subject, and I know you want to be successful. And so when I said that earlier, and I can't even remember what I said, but I know I was upset. This is what was really going on for me, and I wanted you to know that that's what I was thinking, and that's why I reacted the way I did. But I absolutely know, without a doubt, that if we work together on this, we can figure it out and move forward, and I'm really sorry that that came out the way that it did. Have you guys had some similar experiences like that, where you were really upset about something else after you sat down and thought about it, but at the time it seemed like you were just upset about what was actually going on?
Well, I kind of have the same thoughts that my son is, you know, he didn't do that well in ninth grade. And, you know, I have an older son who's going off to college, so you kind of know what is expected of the, you know, the whole, like, applying to colleges and all that. and you know what they're looking for. And, you know, my younger son's coming up way short, and he's a smart kid. He's just, like, not trying, and he's not getting his homework in. And, you know, it's basically, like, some of it he's confused about what the homework is. But anyway, I just what made me feel better, like, you know, since I just had all this anxiety, that he finally got into this private school, and it was the answer to all my prayers, because they had a really good learning center. And then he wouldn't go, and he wouldn't go, and I tried to convince him, and I, you know, I tried, like, really hard for 5 months, and there was, like, fighting every night. I'm not going, you know. And I guess what I finally came to grips with was, that I am worried he's not going to get into, you know, the school that he's capable of getting into. But I just said, okay, so he'll go to community college, you know, and I'm okay with that, because at least in California we have good community colleges that are, for 2 years, they're like a direct, you directly go to the UC system, which those are good, you know, they're good, University of California, whatever, San Diego. And those are good schools, and some of my friends' kids are doing that. So I think when I took the pressure off myself, you know, that you know, he has to do better, and then, you know, we really started to work together. So you got what you wanted. You're not going to your private school, you know. So what are you going to do? Because I said I can't handle this. I'm stepping way back. I was doing like everything for him, and then I just kind of realized that, and I realized, is it so bad if he goes to community college, if that's his choice, you know? So then I guess that made me stop, like, you call it catastrophizing, or thinking he's going to get back home. And so that kind of, you know, then I think I stopped being so worried all the time. And, you know, I think he was probably sensing that I was putting a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that amazing when you figure out kind of what your kids are feeling from you and you can kind of alter that so that they're feeling something different? It really does change what they're perceiving, and it changes their attitude and just all the emotions that go along with that. And I think it's really fascinating. Thanks. Thank you for sharing that.
That's really good.
Yeah, I just kind of realized the ball's in his court. You know, if he's going to fail, then he'll fail and he'll go to community college. And you know, maybe he'll, you know, do okay after. It'll just take him a few more years. So I guess that would be okay.
Yeah. A lot of times I think, as parents, we can take it a step further even and think, okay, you know, I'm putting a lot of pressure on you because I'm worried that, you know, this is going to happen. But if we take it one step further, it may also be about us, right? You know, I'm worried that I'm failing you as a parent, that I'm failing by not giving you the tools that you need to be successful here. And we kind of get trapped in our own piece, maybe not realizing that whatever they're trying to do or whatever they need to do, what we want them to do, isn't that important. Or it doesn't matter how they get it, and they don't have to get it from us, if that makes sense. So it's hard to take ourselves out of it, too, and stay in a place of positivity and openness and transparency.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Diane?
No, I'm thinking that that's really good. We've actually done that when we, took him out of school and took him to the other school. We just realized that we're just going to have to back off on the grades thing. We just want him to have a good experience going through. Not that I really want him to fail, but at the same time, you know, we just had to, you know, there's bigger battles to take care of. But sometimes it's just, you know, he wants to go into the Marine Corps. So, you know, sometimes in our debates, he'll say, well, I don't really need this, or I don't need these grades, and I don't want him to get to the point where he does not want to graduate from high school, or if it goes down that path. See, I'm already there. I'm already.
Dang, I was just talking to you.
You
go. But that was great.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you recognized that you were spiraling and you put the brakes on. That was good.
Is that a good example for all the listeners? Yeah.
It is, because I guarantee you, every single one of us has been there or has done that at some point, right? At least yours was going to apply to the Marine Corps. Mine was just going to end up in the basement. I'm not sure that he was going to graduate either. Yeah, no, anyway.
He'll do after.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all... Sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. You're fine. But so how are you able to... Sorry. We're so good at talking at the same time. This is awesome. I was going to say, what did you tell yourselves? I mean, how did you kind of not teach yourselves, but yeah, I guess really teach yourself to step back or to recognize when it had been too much and you needed to take a minute and be like, okay, this is not what we want for you, not what we want for our relationship.
Oh, because it was him saying, him trying to work so hard with some of the, you know, I guess you call them the disabilities that he has. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was very frustrated, and I could see how, you know, the teachers were saying, you know, well, he can do this, you know, he's just being lazy. And then I found out that he's not really being lazy. It's just that he has, you know, visual problems, and he also has, you know, some other math problems, other things that were going on that were making it harder for him to learn and the way he had to learn. So mm-hmm. then I stepped back and said, you know, if he just does this, and he, like I said, if he's happy and, you know, and he enjoys it, not enjoys it, but he gets through it, but I don't know what the word is for it, but just so he can get through it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do what he needs to do to get where he needs to go so he can get to the step that he really wants to take. Does that make sense?
There you are.
Where you're going.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's hard. Yeah. Bob, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking the same thing she's thinking.
No,
I am.
Okay.
And, yeah, come on.
No, I mean, I don't really have anything to add to that. I mean, we're struggling with where we see him now that he's becoming, he's mid-teens. He thinks he wants mm-hmm. to be a Marine. You know, we'd be happy with him being a Marine if he's serious about that. I think he's underestimating it. But I don't think he's a college material person.
Maybe technical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe technical.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's okay.
We just want him to be happy
yeah.
and be functioning, you know, a functioning member of society. I mean, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to realize that he's making those choices now in a lot of steps that he's taking just in 9th and 10th grade.
Mm-hmm. Is he?
I don't think he's really realizing the connection.
She's asking you, is he?
Okay. Well,
no,
I'm sorry.
I think. No, you understood what I was asking. I mean, I'm wondering if are the choices that he's making and the paths that he's choosing right now, are they really going to greatly impact, you know, his future 10 years from now?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. But he's not making really great choices.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, but they can't, you know, they don't realize the choices they're making. I don't know. I think my son, you know, I have, like I said, I have an 18-year-old boy, too, and I did see, like, so much growth between sophomore and senior year in terms of maturity, because when my older son was entering 10th grade, he didn't have a clue about college. It just was so far away. But once he started mm-hmm. to get closer to it and kind of, like, realize where he wanted to go, boy, he got, like, straight A's for 3 or 4 semesters, and before that he was just like, you know, kind of messing around. So I guess I hope that my younger son can do that as well. And but he doesn't realize, you know, the choices he makes. He doesn't realize it at all. Although I'm hoping over the summer, like, he got this kind of glint that, hey, I can do this, because he's actually really smart. I mean, I just know that he's had a lot of testing. But he always says, like, I don't think that – I keep telling myself that this doesn't count. So I guess he's afraid to fail, or he's just afraid to, like, put 100% effort in. So but he sees this summer that he's putting a lot of effort in and he's being rewarded, and he's so happy. He'll come home and, like, oh, I got, you know, a 90 on this test and a 96. And so I'm really optimistic that, you know, that maybe he is maturing and he's, you know, starting to care about his grades and his study skills a little more. But I don't think he realized before about his choices, and
I'd be thrilled to see my son doing what your son is doing. that's the kind of next step we're hoping for also, just to see him make have some accomplishments and be happy with it. He got a lot of A's and B's in school last year, but it mm-hmm. and there's only a few times that he seemed to be really proud of it. But over the summer, you know, he hasn't really pursued a heck of a lot as far as I didn't really expect him to, but we didn't have to take him to summer school or anything like that. But like we were saying, this example of him doing this one simple book read and then answering a few questions about the story, he's just procrastinating with that. And here we are now a week and a half away from the start of school. So I see this as what's going to be happening in the beginning of this year, procrastination.
Okay. Yeah, or maybe like he'll just wait till 3 days before and get it all done. I mean, I don't know your son, but maybe he just procrastinates and then, you know,
does
a good job.
That is a strategy. We talked about that before. It works for some people. It's not ideal, but it is a strategy that does sometimes work because it's that fear that starts driving you. What are some things, Bob, I'm just thinking about that he does really well that maybe in the past couple months have stood out to you in terms of things where that you said, hey, you did that really well, or what a great job on that? There's some areas that he seems to excel in or enjoy.
Well, I don't know. He, the one thing that we're really happy with is that he worked with us to get a job at the local Kroger store. And because it's such a corporation, he had to go through training, and then there was 3 days of training, and then there's lack of contact. And he only a couple, 3 weeks ago, finally started working. And he doesn't love the job, but he likes the money. And he was able to buy a new airsoft rifle with that, which I think was his main goal.
He did.
Yeah.
He did follow
that's
through
huge,
with that.
That's huge, though.
And he's
that's
and
a
so,
pretty long process, right, to get to the payoff. Yeah. I mean, that's, what, several weeks? That's pretty impressive.
Right.
No,
it is.
Yeah. And he's talking with more people than he'd ever talked to before. You know, he's getting tips from some people, you know. He's helping people carry the groceries off the car, so he's getting involved in things that there's no other way he could be doing these things if it wasn't for him working at Kroger. So that I'm very happy with, and we were really pushing mm-hmm. that, you know, all summer. It just took a long time to gel. Other than that, I mean, his big enjoyment was he's got another gang of guys that they all like to do this airsoft rifle stuff, and they've got indoor mm-hmm. they've got an indoor course, and they also do it outside, but it's a little bit too hot now. But he really likes that. He really likes his airsoft guns. He likes the mechanics. He's very mechanically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he really likes that, and I think that's what's playing on to his idea that he's going to go into the Marines.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it sounds like he's got a good group of guys that he hangs out with too.
Yeah, we're
getting there.
It's getting there. Yeah. Yeah,
gotcha.
Without going into detail, yeah, some of these guys we've known since they were 7 years old, you know, mm-hmm. and others known from scouts and things like that. So it's a little higher cut of kids that he's hanging out with than some of the other kids mm-hmm. he hangs out with.
Okay, cool. Well, that's awesome. I mean, truly, if I think about it, there's a lot of kids who have ADHD who would not be able to sustain or keep their eyes on the prize that long. They maybe give up a couple of weeks in, or certainly before he got to the point where he'd, you know, worked long enough to save enough money to buy the airsoft rifle. I think that's really amazing. Is this something that he can continue in the school year, part time, or will that conflict too much?
There certainly won't be as much time. It's usually a weekend thing, so hopefully he's not going to be inundated with homework. This is a all year round sport, especially here in Atlanta. It's much more fun to do it outside and when it's cooler. You know, you can wear more protective mm-hmm. gear, you know, that kind of stuff.
What about the job at Kroger?
We're not sure about that.
We're not encouraging okay. him to quit after school starts, unless his uh-huh. grades are doing good, unless he wants to. But I'm encouraging to, you know, stay on good terms with him. And we've heard of a lot of kids going back over the holidays when they need extra help.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Really want to encourage him to do that.
I don't know.
Okay. Cool. Maya, I'll ask you the same question. What are some things that he's been doing? And I know he's doing really, really well in his summer program. what are some other things that you've identified or that kind of stand out when you think about things that he's really good at or things that you can easily compliment him on?
Well, he's been good at finding things to do because, well, his school goes like 11:30 to 2:30, and then he likes his Xbox, but I said he can't go on that right after school, although, you know, he comes home sometimes tired and then he has homework. But so he's been good at, like, finding friends to go to the beach with or play basketball. So he's been, like, keeping himself busy, which I was concerned about.
That's good. He kind of created his own routine or his own structure to keep himself
busy. It depends if people are around. Like, some days they're not, but he's been pretty good about, you know, finding kids and you know, keeping active outside. That's what I want him to do, is do some kind of activity outside. You know, I don't want him to just come home and watch TV after his class or playing the Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I know. Big games.
So, Diane, I want to ask, what is your biggest fear about him not getting the summer assignments done and procrastinating to the end?
I think he'll start behind because I think they have, I've downloaded what they call like a narrative from the book that he's supposed to fill out. And it goes into the plot and what did each character do for the plot, and a lot of questions. And when you start, I tried to start with him one day, and it was too much for him. I was just generally asking him, what did he think about the plot, the book, the characters, and he was just giving me like a three-word answer. And I'm thinking, he's in 10th grade, that probably won't be enough, but I'm thinking, you know, for this kid, it would be. And he doesn't like to write, and so that was my fear, is that I don't want him, because he might procrastinate so much on some of his work, that, you know, he might start off already, you know, in the back gate, you know, trying to make up something. And so I was trying to get him familiar with what the paper was that, you know, that they're asking him to do. But, you know, I haven't checked all avenues to see how we're going to, you know, with his IEP, how we're going to work all of this, of what they're asking him for on a daily basis. So I'm trying to step back from that, but he just kind of, you know, exploded on that one. After I started asking him too many questions, it was a done deal.
Right. It's hard to know, too, with our teenager boys, you know, if we've asked too many questions and that's why they're upset, or if they're upset because they don't know the answers to the questions and they're afraid that we'll be disappointed, or if there's something else going on. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, with my son, it's definitely asking too many questions, because he'll say, that's enough, get out, you know, like, get out of my room. I've learned to leave, and then I just come back a little later, or I say, what's a good time? But it's definitely like asking too many questions, because then he's just like, you know, he's done talking. He doesn't like to talk for a long time. But sometimes if you get him at the right time, he'll talk for a while.
I know that wonderful.
Even my neurotypical teenagers don't like to be asked too many questions in a row. So a lot of times we'll do it via text, or I'll have just a check sheet or something, so they don't have to hear it from me, you know, just say check the box when you're done or whatever, or let me know kind of thing. So we remove that piece, and it works. You know, if there's like a third party that can ask the questions instead of me, we do that. And we talked last time about, you know, kind of recording his answer so he wouldn't have to actually handwrite anything or even type anything if he didn't want to. But can we stay with that for just a second? If he starts the year behind, then what? Then he's behind and he has to catch up and he feels pressure.
He wouldn't really start the year behind. This is just a summer assignment.
No, but I'm saying he would start behind because he'd already owe this. I'm already saying that if Christopher does get behind, like he has a tendency to do so, but this might be different. sometimes he can't understand it, so he'll hide the papers or he won't get the assignment done, and then all of a sudden we'll find out and it'll just backlog. And I'm trying to approach it all differently this year. You know, I'm going to try real hard.
I'm going to do that too. I was going to say to, I don't know what your name is, the other people I'm talking to in Atlanta. I know your husband's Bob, but Diane, okay. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
I think that you probably have executive functioning coaches in Atlanta or where you live. I don't know if you want to, you know, then you have to pay privately, but that might be something you want to look into because, I mean, my son is like refusing to even talk to this person, but they're really good about setting goals. And I think I wanted to do it over the summer so we could be proactive and, you know, like it's not really working out for me, but our school isn't like for another month. So, since your school is kind of imminent, you might want to look into that. I guess you could also see how it goes with your case manager, but the executive functioning coaches, they work one-on-one, and they try and figure out what approach is best for your son, so you're not involved.
Oh, I love that.
And we do recommend that whenever possible, with the teenagers especially. Whenever you can find someone who's not you to sort of set up a system or a structure or enforce a rule or whatever, it's just one less thing for them to get mad at you at, you know.
That's true. No, I definitely would do that. Now, I already know the chapter of Chad. You know, they're a little far away from us, but, you know, I could just call them to see if they did have that type of – if they did have that coach. You know, I don't know who else to touch base with who would do executive coaching. I guess, do I look it up on the Internet or?
Yeah, so the Ed Foundation has high school coaches or coaches that work with kids in high school level, and they don't necessarily call themselves executive functioning coaches, but anyone that's been trained as an ADHD coach has a lot of background in training on executive functioning. But even before you go there, sometimes you can just find, sometimes if it's just like a peer model or a peer mentor, you know, a student that, or even a friend, one of his friends that he likes that maybe can just sit there with him, you know, in a way that's non-threatening. You know, sometimes it helps to find a cute girl who may be a little older or a cute, you know, whatever. Sometimes it's also very stressful. So it just kind of depends on what you think he may best respond to or maybe who he selects. You know, you can let him choose, and if it works out, great. And if not, then you find someone else.
That's true, yeah. And we've been trying to get on just a couple of things during the summer, and so now this is the other one. So yeah, so that's what I'll do. I'll just because I think that'd be a great idea. Thank you.
I did some private coaching with Elaine, and she was the one who told me this. You know, came up with this idea, and she said her husband does that. So I'm sure he would probably be knowledgeable and. I think, you know, he's in Atlanta. I don't know exactly where you live, but that might be somebody, you know, maybe Jeremy could look into that if you're interested.
Yeah.
Question.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I mean, there's so many different options that you can consider if you want to go down that path. And I think it's definitely something to think about and look at and potentially try. My thought or my hope would be that you kind of get to the bottom of what's going on for him. You know, is there something that's still out there that we haven't identified yet? Or, you know, is he worried about disappointing you? Is there something that you guys need to address, either with yourselves in terms of being open and honest and transparent, or with him, you know, to really drill down on what's behind that? Is it fear? Is it I just don't want to do it because you want me to do it? And that can be it then. Maybe all it is. But before you move on to bringing somebody else in, I think, I don't know. I don't want to tell you
well,
what to do.
Well, no, I mean,
how this works.
It is kind of a cycle, and I know with kids with ADHD, is the fact that they do try a lot sometimes, or if they have any other kind of, you know, issue going on. And if they do try a lot and they fail a lot, and someone comes along and says, let's try it again, they don't necessarily want to try it because they know that last time they didn't. And it didn't work, and you're asking me something to do again that I'm getting all stressed out again because, you know, I might just fail at this again. So I understand mm-hmm. that part of it.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like you've got a good sense of kind of what's going on for him in terms of how he's responding to you. And this isn't necessarily a new challenge. So I don't know. There's something there that feels unfinished. But like I said, I'm not okay. the one to say you should do this or do that. Just sit with that, I think. And you know, maybe it is that you bring somebody else in, and lo and behold, it works fabulously. And I think it's
okay, and that
maybe
would
one
be
more
great.
Conversation with him. Yeah, wouldn't that be easy?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we've got about 9 minutes left. Maya, I feel like we haven't kind of tackled you at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, I don't know how I even offered him like $10 just to listen to this call. You know, sometimes he responds well to like rewards, but he's just like, no, no, no. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we could do it his way, which is, it's kind of like what Diane was saying. You don't want them to start off the year, you know, failing, or I kind of wanted to set him up for success with this executive functioning coach who I know is good because I've heard her talk, and she kind of seems to address with all of his issues, but he wants to, you know, see who his new case manager is and try it. And so I guess, you know, once again, I have to let him take the lead. I guess that's what I have to do, because I don't know how else to get him to, you know, listen to what this person does. He doesn't even understand what she does, but he's like, no, we don't need that. So we're not going to do that.
So how likely is it if we got to the point where he would actually sit down and listen to it, how likely is it that he's actually going to listen while he's listening to it or take away, you know what I mean? I mean, even if he checks the box now of listening to the 20 minutes, do you think he's going to take, and he might, I could be totally wrong, but I mean, how much do you think he's going to take away at this point after this back and forth all summer?
No, you know, you're right now that I actually think about it. I guess I have to let him be in charge because, you know, he feels like he says, you know, things are going to be different this year and I'm going to, you know, we did like this whole agreement when he decided to stay with the public school that he was going to, you know, I wrote everything out very clearly, like get his homework assignments in on time, no missing assignments, know what his homework is, study 2 days before, you know, and I asked him, I said, well, what else do you think would help you and what else? And so we kind of, you know, we worked pretty hard on that, and then he agreed to do it, and then, you know, then there's, like, the new case manager. So I guess I have to be optimistic, you know, from what I've seen this summer, and I think that he has matured, but sometimes if he, you know, he comes in with his mindset, he's going to do really well, and then he's got 7 classes, you know, he just gets overwhelmed, he gets some bad grades, and then we're kind of back where we started.
You're trying to kind of get ahead of it in case he starts to spiral.
Yeah.
And so what's going on for you inside there? A fear of failure for him or a fear of watching him in pain or?
Well, fear that we're just going to kind of, you know, we said no to the private school. He had to go through the application process. He had to do an interview. You know, it was hard. And then he finally said, no, I'm not going. And that was really hard for me to accept. And so I did accept it. And that we just kind of end up back where we were at the start of ninth grade.
And you don't want to be there again because it was not a fun place.
No, it wasn't. But I guess I just have to, I mean, if there's some way, like I need some accountability. So if he says, if it doesn't work out, if I'm going to try this new case manager and, you know, that doesn't work out and he's not getting his work done or he's starting to get bad grades, then I'm going to talk about the executive functioning coach. And I have no idea if he said he would do it, but I don't know if he will. And so maybe you can help me get some accountability in there. So he gets, so I said, well, what's going to happen, you know, if you get this case manager and it still isn't working out well for you? And he said, well, then I won't get paid because he gets paid like, we have this system where he gets paid a certain amount for his A's and B's. And, you know, that's kind of like his allowance. That's like one of his big incentives, although didn't really work out so well last year. So, but I don't think that's enough. You know, I have to kind of make him, you know, not make him, but just have some accountability that if this all goes south, that he will consider talking to this executive functioning coach. And maybe that won't work, but at least it's something that I think will help him, and we can, you know, try it.
Wow. So what has he said? He said, I mean, if you, is the class that he's doing in the summer, is it at the private school or at the public school?
It's just like it's at a private school, but not the other one.
Not the one
got into.
Okay.
It's just, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
What I might do is just say, you know, if we're not, like, just for the accountability factor, one thing he really likes is his Xbox. And I'll just say that, you know, if you can't, first of all, you're not going to get it till you get all your work done. And if there's, like, missing assignments, or if, you know, the grades aren't, I mean, it's hard if he doesn't get a good grade and he's trying, but generally he's just not trying, because I can tell that he has missing assignments in a class. You know, we get all that stuff online. So then I guess I could say that you'll lose Xbox time every night, you know, with that we have a missing assignment, or, you know, I could do that. I didn't want to be punitive, but I don't really know how else to make him accountable, you know?
Well, so is it more about the accountability, or is it more about him working with the executive function coach? Are they all tied together for you?
Well, I kind of realize, I guess, that he's probably not going to work with the executive functioning coach right away. So if things go well, you know, if he's, like, trying and he's on top of it and he's got his case manager, then I'm okay with him not seeing an executive functioning coach. But if that all doesn't work, I want to make sure that he will see her, or at least talk to her.
Gotcha. And in terms of, you know, of what, you know, if all goes well, he has a good feel for what that looks like, what that means in terms of what your expectations are and what next steps are, if he misses
We wrote out this agreement over the summer, like, you know, when he decided he was going to stay at his public school. And then a few times over the summer, I kept bringing it up, like, now the payment's due, you know, or what do you want to do? And if you want to stay at your public school, then this is what we have to do. You know, and we made it, Elaine said, be really specific, like, don't just say work harder, say specifically, like, all assignments
this
done, you know what the homework is. So we did, like, an agreement.
He signed
contract.
Off on all that.
Yes, well, he agreed to it, yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah. he knows what the expectations are, yes.
Right. Okay. So at this point, really, everything's in his court, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's do our quick checkout. So we ask the same four questions at the end of each session, and they are, you know, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? And usually that's whatever you focused on during the call or paid most attention to, kind of what your aha or your key takeaway might have been from the call. And it's okay if you didn't have one. Like I said before, we're not Oprah. It's fine if you know, it was just kind of a good talk. What a realistic action step is for you to take, and how to set yourself up for success with that action. And so what you focused on or paid most attention to, what your key takeaway, your aha might have been, what a realistic action step is, and either do you have what you need to set yourself up for success, or what do you need? And we can help you identify that if we need to. So whenever you're ready, just chime on in.
Well, I guess Diane and I are going to try to do that first. As far as what we focused on or paid most attention to, that an executive function coach has really got me interested, and we're going to follow up on that. That sounds like a really interesting idea, and since we've got a chat chapter, I think we can, you know, get some headway on that.
I thought was what he wanted about. What we were thinking about doing with Christopher, working on him about that.
Okay, I lost you. Sorry. My key takeaway was, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. The other lady is on the call. I'm really impressed with how you've given your son the responsibility to be in charge, to make these decisions, and you're kind of stepping back. So it sounds like he's got a certain level of maturity that he realizes that it's up to him. And I think I'm going to try to model something like that with our son, along with that executive function coach.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. That actually, I got that from this course, Sanity School. I was listening to that. I actually am only on the second unit, but just a lot of the calls is like, well, you might know this, but their idea, their philosophy is that when they get to be teenagers, you kind of have to, you know, pass the baton and let them be independent and make choices. And it sounds like your son is also like very, independent. And I call my child a power child because he wants all the power all the time. He has since he was little. And so if I finally let him, have the power, make the decisions. I said I'm not going to look up your homework anymore. I'm not going to tell you when you have a test. And I realized I was probably doing way too much for him. Then I'm like passing it on to him, and I keep telling him. I've told him like at least 10 times this summer. Like, are you sure? You know, you don't want to go to this private school where they're going to have this really great learning center and help you know what the homework is and help you know when your tests are and all that. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it on my own. I said, well, okay, then I'm going to step back and you're going to be in charge.
Good.
He seems to like it.
Okay.
I'll be interested to see how well it works. We can compare notes as we go along.
I love it.
I know that we've got our IEP coming up with our son and their case manager mid next week. So Dee and I have already been writing down some ideas on things that we're going to be bringing up, prior to that meeting. Like this coaching idea and things like that. And then as far as setting up for success, I mean, right now we're still working on this timeout idea to kind of relieve some of the anger during discussions, which might come in handy when we start talking about being in charge and making him responsible for things. So it'll be good. We're going to try this book report, not a report, but we have to get rid of through the book and get him to answer those questions. And we're going to try some of these techniques.
They're taking the transparency.
Transparency, sure. Awesome.
That's going to be something like you mentioned, is it really about us and where, what we're expecting of it. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, that's good. Good. Awesome. Maya, you want to check out real quick? I know we're after time.
Yeah, well, I guess, I took aim on getting him to listen to that 20-minute talk on the executive functioning coach. But I guess what I took away from is that, like you said, even if he, did agree to listen to it, he wouldn't really listen to it. He wouldn't pay attention. So I think for him, he has to experience what's going to happen. And so I guess I'll just be optimistic that school starts off well and he has got a great case manager. And after that, then we'll just have to have some meetings. But I think, if I keep talking to him and say, okay, what do you want to do now? What do you think is a good idea? Like, kind of letting him come up with the idea and kind of be the leader, and then I support him.
Mm-hmm.
Then hopefully, that's like how that's the big change from ninth grade, where I was just trying to do everything and he was, getting all mad all the time.
Yeah,
it was exhausting and stressful. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. So it's up to you. And
I love that.
We'll see.
And that's that transparency piece, right? I mean, they're like, I can't do this anymore. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm afraid of. But it's really up to you, and I'm going to stand back and let you do it.
Yeah, like
but
one
here
thing,
you.
He was just saying, stop emailing all my teachers. And I said, well, the only reason I email them is because, they're not, doing their job and explaining things to you. And so this summer I said, I'm not going to email your teacher at all because you want to be in charge. And I haven't, and he's got an A, so.
He must be a self-advocate.
I love it. Isn't that funny? Our darn kids, they're so smart. They know what they need sometimes better than we do.
Well, we were never like that.
Awesome. I love it. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for a great call today. Have a wonderful couple weeks, and we'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
Well, take
care.
Care
thanks, everybody.
Jeremy, good night.
Yes,
thanks.
Bye. Good night, guys.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.